sincerely thankful and delighted that you would take a few minutes to stop and consider what Mark has to say for us, this gospel that he wrote about the gift of God for us. I wrote this message for November 12th of 2023. The Greek woman's faith is what I titled it, and Mark 7, 24 to 30 is our text. So my outline, the Greek woman's faith. Jesus went for a quiet place. Number two, an evil spirit controlled the little girl. Number three, first are the children. So point one, Jesus went for a quiet place. Point two, an evil spirit controlled the little daughter. Point three, first are the children. Here's my introduction. Love, demons, and Jews. My heart cries for the scripture text that we're examining today to be about God's amazing love for us. But the message of scripture is about demons, political parties, and Jews. We see here again the life pattern of Jesus trying to get away privately for prayer and fellowship with God. Let's take a few minutes to consider our belief pattern and understanding and practical application of these Bible truths. And then let's put them in perspective with the world perspective around us. The Bible truth here again is the stark, disturbing reality of human relationship with evil spirits. That's the stark deal. Humanity's relationships with evil spirits. There is a little girl who is controlled by demons. The Bible truth the Holy Spirit wants us to see and understand and to implement into our daily lives is the reality that some people are controlled by evil forces. That's what Mark and the Holy Spirit are trying to communicate. There are some people who are controlled by demonic activity. Today's worldly perspective of demonic evil activity may be more accurate, practically speaking, than the church's perspective of demonic evil activity. The worldly outpouring of media and movies is overwhelmingly, at times, considering the reality of demons and control of people and the effects on them. Recently, I've invested time and effort and energy with you to comprehend the truth that life comes from within a human. We've done that several weeks. Life comes from within. Take that truth in your mind and place it next to the pattern of scripture consistently describing the demonic activity with humans as come out, quote, or came out, quote. So we see that consistently. The demon came out of the little girl. Or Jesus will say to a demon, come out. I believe the Bible is telling us the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So how do you make your personal life application of this dichotomy? How do you deal with in your mind the reality that there are evil spirits? There are evil spirits that control people. How do you deal with that? The NIV Reader's Version of Mark 7, 24 to 30 is our text for today. It says, Jesus went from there to a place near Tyre. He entered a house. He did not want anyone to know where it was, but he could not keep it a secret. Soon a woman heard about him. An evil spirit controlled her little daughter. The woman came to Jesus and fell at his feet. She was a Greek born in Syrian, Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive out the demon from her daughter. First, let the children eat all they want, Jesus told her. It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she replied, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, that was a good reply. You may go. The demon has left your daughter. So she went home and found her child lying on the bed, and the demon was gone. That's the end. So our outline, the Greek woman's faith. First, Jesus went for a quiet place. So where on the map do we find ourselves when we arrive in Tyre and then in Sidon? We're in the northern border of Israel, the southern tip of Lebanon on today's map. Then and now, Sidon is a very busy Mediterranean port on the Sea of Mediterranean. So in simple terms, we are in Gentile country. Jesus is attempting to go into a place where many of the self-righteous Jewish leaders would not go. That's his point of going up there, going into Gentile country. So I have some photos in my PowerPoint of when I was in Israel and photos of this port that is still very active. And then I have a couple photos of the Great Wall that Israel has made along their border. So back to our outline. A, Jesus did not want anyone to know where he was, and anyone is your blank. So Jesus is the Son of Man, born of Mary, and the Son of God, born of the Holy Spirit. Yes? Can you agree? Which one of those two do you think wants and needs a quiet place to commune with his Father? My best guess is the Son of Man that needs a quiet communing prayer, worshiping time. I'm thinking that's the human part, the soul of him that needs that. Yes? If we guess that correctly, then the Son of God did not need that experience. Yes? No? Let's say we have that correct. What does that mean for a believer? A believer is a redeemed Son of Man. A believer is the righteousness of God, the very righteous Son of God. A believer is a redeemed Son of Man. Therefore, he is cleansed from all sin. All sins, past, present, future, have been cleansed at redemption. So we stand as we are born again without sin. It's all been cleansed away. A believer is a righteous Son of God. Therefore, one has the exact identical righteousness that Jesus Christ has. So Jesus is trying to get away. His spiritual part, the Holy Spirit within him, I don't think that needs the alone time because it's always one. But the human part, that needs this. And it's the soul of Jesus that wants that. And in very practical terms, when our sins are cleansed, we stand like Jesus stood, righteous before God, exactly the same righteousness Jesus has. And the Holy Spirit that Jesus had is the exact same Holy Spirit we have. So in many ways, we can take Jesus as our example and draw a direct comparison. The human part, the flesh of Jesus Christ, wanted intimate alone time. The spiritual part is one with God. They are one. Be on your outline. Jesus could not keep it a secret. Your three blanks could not secret. Now, that sentence kind of troubles me. It troubles me in my mind to consider there's something Jesus could not do. I have a hard time wrapping my head around that. I think he could do anything. Now, if the Holy Spirit and Mark had written that God allowed the forces of evil to deny Jesus a time of personal intimacy and ecstasy, that I could wrap my head around. If it had been written, like in the book of Job, that he allowed evil to distract Jesus, I could get along with that. But to say he couldn't do something, I don't know. One of the best wordsmith things that I came up with this week was personal intimacy and ecstasy. Personal intimacy and ecstasy in our quiet time with God. Why is that, Wilmer? I could understand that to be true because I experienced that problem in my life. Demons do not want me to experience that intimacy and ecstasy. My heart's desire is a peaceful, serene experience of personal intimacy and ecstasy in my relationship with God. Sadly, many circumstances distract me from that goal. I get distracted by things that disrupt that intimate time of ecstasy I desire in my relationship with God. So our outline, the Greek woman's faith. One, Jesus went to a quiet place. 2, an evil spirit controlled a little daughter. A in your outline, a woman came to Jesus and fell at his feet. So I gave you 3 blanks, came, fell, feet. A woman came to Jesus and fell at his feet. So what are your thoughts on this woman's expression of humble respect? How do you see that? She fell at his feet. B on your outline, she begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. Begged is your blank. What is the image of that interaction that you're seeing in your mind? So we have her falling to her knees and begging Jesus to free her daughter. How do you see that in your head? Can you agree with this idea? This woman is a Gentile, like we are. This woman receives her request. As we get to the end of the story, the demon does leave. So can you agree with, she's a Gentile woman, and she receives her request. Therefore, it seems logical to me that if another Gentile, let's say you or I have a request of God, this is a pattern of life that's worth our serious consideration. You want something from God. This lady's falling on her knees and begging humbly, I think is a good idea. You? Yes? No? Okay, let's take our prayer pattern of request of God and put it side by side with hers. What are you thinking about this pattern of life? So take how you normally pray and ask God for deliverance in some things and put it side by side with hers. Is your posture similar? Is your attitude similar? I would venture a guess that there are a few listening to this that actually pray on their hands and knees and actually beg God for something. It seems to me that if one has a desire for an intervention of God and an evil influence in someone we know and love, this is a very serious and practical way to do it. That's the way it seems to me. To you? If you are being totally honest, when was the last time you considered that evil influence was a problem you're seeing in someone's life you love? So there's someone in your life that is having a life problem. When was the last time you considered evil influence in that person's life? The NIV Reserves version of Mark 7:29-30, then Jesus told her, that's a good reply. You may go, the demon has left your daughter. So see on your outline, the demon has left your daughter. Demon left are your 2 blanks. The truth is that Jesus did not need to be near the little girl to exercise his authority and dominion. Do you see that's very clear teaching here in Mark? See that? She's not from the city they're in. And yet, when she gets home, her daughter is set free. Therefore, Jesus doesn't have to be close. You know, that's really good news, because the reality of one falling on his knees humbly and begging God's deliverance and its result are not contingent on proximity. It's not contingent on closeness. Bottom line, this reads to me like the very, very good life pattern to seriously consider and practically implement into one's life. Yes? This lady's pattern? Yes? So, on your outline, Jesus went to a quiet place, 2, of the evil spirit controlled her daughter, and 3, first are the children. So Mark 7:27, first let the children have all they want, he told her. It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to their dogs. That's the end of Mark 7. A on your outline, first let the Jews get all they want. First, Jews are your 2 blanks. God puts Jews first. So in our experience in today's world, how would you interpret that truth? God puts Jews first because of Abraham, not because of the actions of the Jews on the planet today, but because of his promise to Abraham, he puts them first. Personally, when I showed you the photos of that wall in Israel, placed to keep people from entering their country illegally, I wish we had one of those. In Mark 7:27, first let the children eat all they want. It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table eat children's crumbs. Then he told her, that's a good reply. The demon has left your daughter. Jesus is describing her as a dog. Now, that may be something that seems harsh and unsympathetic. When Jesus describes this woman as a dog, that could be harsh. But the woman, what she saw was a wide open door to God's throne. Jesus did not use a negative term for dogs that would refer to scavengers. Instead, Jesus used the term of a household pet. I have granddogs. I have three granddogs, and my children treat the granddogs just like grandchildren. In many cases, the dogs get better than the humans do. But that's the kind of dog he called her, is a house dog, house pet. The woman did not try to argue with Jesus. Using Jesus' choice of imagery, she pointed out that she was willing to be considered a dog that could receive God's healing for her daughter. She did not argue. She accepted the reality of what he said. Sadly, many Jews then and humans today could not receive God's spiritual hearing because they rejected Jesus. She totally humbly accepted Jesus and believed in his power. But many today, whether they're Jewish or Gentile, are rejecting that type of faith in Jesus. Many Gentiles then and people today would find salvation if they recognize Jesus like this woman does. Be on your outline. Gentiles' faith impressed Jesus. The Gentiles' faith impressed Jesus. So faith impressed. Now, I'm thinking that it takes something really special to make an impression like this on Jesus. We read and considered another Gentile's expression of faith that impressed Jesus. Remember the Roman officer and the interaction that he had with Jesus? Now, you don't have to go, he said. Just, I take orders, I give orders. You just give the orders and my servant will be healed. In both of those illustrations, we can see and understand several important truths for us. First, they were both Gentiles. This woman is a Gentile, like any woman listening to this. This Roman soldier was a Gentile, just like any gentleman listening to this. Second, we see a woman and a man expressing their attitude of humble respect and adoration. Yes, can you see that? That's what impressed Jesus. Not their knowledge, not their wisdom, not their understanding, but their humble respect and adoration that they had for Jesus. In Mark 7:30, so she went home and found her child laying on the bed. The demon was gone. That's the end. See you on your outline. The demon was gone. So your two blanks, demon gone. Jesus had the power then and has the power today to set people free from the dominion of darkness and evil's control. He has the power. He had the power. Here's my conclusion. There is a reality of presence of evil in the world we live in. Don't be deceived. It is there. The good news is Jesus has been given all power and authority on heaven and earth. And the staggering truth is he gave this to us. That's what's staggering. When he commissioned us, he gave us that power. The same power he had. Not a subcaliber, second rate, good used, the exact same. We should not go looking to pick a fight with evil forces. But when we're confronted by evil, we can have no fear. You don't have to fear the evil. We Gentiles today, like the Gentiles then, need to go only to come to Jesus respectfully, humbly, in an attitude like this woman and the Roman did then. That's what we need to do today. Come to Jesus respectful, humble, like this woman and the Roman did. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so delighted to know and understand what Mark wrote down for us. The interaction that Jesus had that day with that woman and that day with the demons that controlled her daughter. We humbly pray that you would create in us the clean heart and the ability to understand these truths. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Give me Jesus.